There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve. Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 778, January 2nd. 2019. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. I say greetings and barking bono regards to the global F1 Weekly familia. All is quiet on New Year's Day, but not for long. Now back to Mr. Rogers, the edge of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser, on today's program. Well, Happy New Year to everybody. And now we go into the post-Fernando era. Is it Max against Leclerc? Or is it going to be all LCH in 2019? And we have a new edition of Loosh on the Loose this week. And quickly, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. I want to thank everybody who's contributed last year. And anyone who donates $100 or more will receive an F1 Weekly coffee cup and a sticker. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. I had the great pleasure of spending a few hours today at the local DMV, and now I'm a proud owner of a Florida driver's license. Oh, my God.
Exciting. California license is more superior.
Yes, and so is the state of California, I must say.
Gracias.
But Florida is very nice. There is Sebring here. There is Daytona. The IndyCar, St. Pete, Miami, Beach Rumba, which I enjoy very much, and a lot of other things, fantastic things to do here. Moi is very happy. How is you on the left coast?
The left coast is very left as usual. Everybody's happy. It's chilly, but dry. And of course, we are now entering the post-Fernando Formula One era.
And in California, it's always chilly today and tamale tomorrow, right?
Bravo.
So are you still missing Nando?
Absolutely, sir.
Well, I want to get your opinion on this. This exploded on the F1 news world, you know, the comment that Lewis Hamilton made that he dissed his hometown of Stevenage, which upset a few people. And this was done at, I'm sure most of our listeners know by now, at the BBC Awards for Sports Personality. But Lewis is saying that people should turn their negativity into positivity, and I understand he has since apologized also, which is nice of him. And all I can say on this issue is that Lewis's choice of words and wardrobe is not everyone's cup of Darjeeling tea. And you know, we have there are two sides to every story. There was an article on a leading F1 website in which a well-known journalist made a remark that no matter what Lewis does or say comes under negative scrutiny. And he pointed out not much fuss being made in media about Raikkonen being drunk at the FIA gala in St. Petersburg. I guess the vodka was free, you know. But the question from the peanut gallery to you, sir, is, what is the point of view on Slumgate from the Nando Galleria?
Well, we laughed and giggled about it, of course. Of course, you know, he wanted to get out of the ghetto. And, hey, Fernando didn't come from a rich family either.
That is very true. And you know, funny you say that, that's what I was thinking. And not at Michael Schumacher's family background was even more humbler than most of these people. I mean, both of these youths.
Exactly. So let's just say that LCH should think before he speaks.
Well, maybe he's like Dan Ticktum, you know, Christian Horner said about him, about Dan Ticktum, that he engages his mouth before he engages his brain. But, you know, we all make mistakes, and we have to enjoy the racer in Lewis Carl Hamilton, which I enjoy immensely, as you know already.
We know.
But he's not the only one that I enjoy. And I'm going to enjoy a ex-Formula One world champion at Daytona also this year for the second time.
That's something to look forward to.
Yes, sir. So what else is going on in the world of Mr. Rogers with no motor racing or at least no Formula One?
Well, hey, you know what? There's DVDs, there's YouTube, and I decided to watch 50 years of onboard Formula One. And boy, you know, the problem with watching vintage Formula One, it just gets you pissed off because we're getting ripped off now.
Yeah, thanks for saying that because, you know, I've been watching. That's what I do, man, believe it or not. First thing I do, the last thing I do before I go to bed is check out some, you know, could be European touring cars. I've been watching some Japanese super touring, some South American, anything that gets my attention, a lot of old races. Now, the other day, I watched most of the 2005 San Marino Grand Prix. You know what happened there.
Ooh, machismo was happening there.
Yeah, that was very nice. And again, just like you, man, what I really don't like is you hear these cars go by and they sound so beautiful. And now we have to endure with the cars don't look so good now. And we have to endure the Hoover 500.
Yes. So they suck. They suck, and then they suck. So, yeah, we're getting ripped off. I mean, just hearing that Macher V12 or the V10s, the Honda V10, it was just glorious, wonderful. And now it's stinko.
Yeah, the gear change, and it was just so fantastic, you know.
Maybe I'm starting to sound like my father.
Yeah, well, you know, we have to reminisce about the good old days, and nothing wrong with that. Okay, so now moving from Lewis Hamilton, shall we talk about his beleaguered wingman, the talented Mr. Bottas?
Rubotas.
What is that?
I call him Rubotas.
Yes, Rubotas. So there you go. Exactly. The Finnish Barrichello. You know, I have to say, his first season, he was very impressive. First season as teammate to Lewis Hamilton, he had poles and wins. But last season was a complete disaster, even by his own admission. Yes, he lost two wins through no fault of his. But even then, if he had those wins, the record would be 9-2 wins, you know, between him and Lewis. But to finish fifth in the championship, I mean, that was not what was expected by Toto and his Wolfpack. And, you know, when you look at that, Max and Ricciardo had two wins each in a Renault-powered car. And Max was even ahead. I mean, to see Max Verstappen, but you know, he did not have a very good start to the season. For him to finish ahead of Valtteri Bottas in that world championship winning machine, and that is a very sad story for Bottas.
It's very, very sad, and his days are done.
Well, the question is, who's sorry now, Toto Wolff or Mr. Bottas? What do you think he will have to do to retain his seat? Or is a decision already made?
Oh, the decision is already made. I mean, Toto Wolff has said they're preparing Ocon for the 2020 seat. He's not talking about Lewis Hamilton's seat.
Yeah. Oh, no, of course not, unless Lewis Hamilton signs a contract with Suge Knight's Death Row Records and move to Escondido.
No.
You don't think that will happen?
It's not going to happen.
Well, you know, in my opinion, apart from the lack of performance in the number two Mercedes, Bottas' only or real crime is his teammate. Frankly, I don't think many expected him to rattle the cage of Lewis. When you take into account the man Bottas replaced, did not even try to defend his title in preseason testing against Hamilton, let alone race alongside him all season long. But having said that, I think Bottas should take note of how Nico went about in his championship winning season, because if you recall, and I'm sure you do, remember this, that in the second half, Lewis was very, very strong, winning a lot of races. And every time Nico was asked, he kept saying, you know, I'm taking one race at a time and not looking at the champion. But then, you know, he had the comfort of winning the opening four races, but he still kept his cool and did not make silly mistakes that can cost a driver world championship, as we saw last year.
Toto, is always winking and nodding to Lewis because Lewis knows that they'll turn up the power and he'll win when he needs to win.
Oh, yeah. And I find it hard to believe, as much as I don't want to see any driver fail, but I find it hard to believe that in 2019, Bottas' silver arrow will turn into a silver bullet and shoot down Hamilton. But two or three race wins in the first half of the season should restore his confidence and credibility. But, man, I'll tell you, we don't know how the packages will be for everybody, but if Lewis has, let's just put it this way, halfway through the season, if Lewis has a few wins and Bottas is still looking for his first win, then I think he'll get the chop-chop in favor of Ocon.
Nice guys finish last.
Yes. And Ocon is your fellow Francais. I'm sure you would love to see him there.
I would.
Will he become the new Nando for you?
No.
Nobody can replace Nando for you?
Nobody.
Oh, man, that's pretty sad. But someday somebody will come along. Maybe Carlos Sainz Jr.
Maybe not.
Maybe not? Okay. Okay, now the other teammate versus teammate battle shaping up for 2019, Sebastian Vettel and Charles Leclerc. There are a lot of hopes and a lot of talk. What say you on this, percolating situation?
I think Leclerc is going to come out fighting. He's not going to listen to the pundits to acclimate and all that crap. He's going to go out and he's got to out-qualify Vettel in Melbourne.
You think he will come out swinging right from the start?
Yes.
I think that will be fantastic for racing because fresh blood in the red team going against a four-time world champion. There will be, for Seb, in the favor of Seb, lack of experience on the part of Sebastian. And, of course, Sebastian Vettel is no Marcus Ericsson. And I think these two will be the main challenges for Charles. But on the other hand, hunger for success and whippersnapper mentality will provide the boost to Leclerc to challenge and push his new teammate. It will be nice if he can, what will be very nice, if he can really go like 2/10 or 3/10 faster than Sebastian Vettel in preseason testing. But I think, Sebastian has a lot of experience. He is a fantastic race car driver. And it may take a few races for Charles Leclerc to settle in at Ferrari. Maybe he may have to look for the brake pedal for a few races before he can be the rattlesnake at the Scuderia. You don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
I was thinking, how will Sebastian Vettel feel if Charles Leclerc can do what Jenson Button did when he moved to McLaren and won two races before the sitting emperor got one?
We'll see, but I'm telling you, it's going to be exciting.
No, I think it's going to be very exciting. And in the days of Red Bull, especially the last year he won the championship, but nobody could even run with him. And we were, looking at that finger every time there was a race. But since then, especially the last 2 years, I am surprised how razzle-dazzle-fazzle Sebastian Vettel can be, especially when the heat is on. Some of the mistakes he made. And it's just, the situation a couple of years ago in Baku, hitting Lewis's car. And this is against a driver who has a much better car, okay? So if somebody is driving the same car and is a new kid on the block and he starts pushing him, he might even lose it more.
That's exactly my point. I think, Kimi Raikkonen was a nice balancing act. Calm, cool, no emotions. This is going to be completely different. Leclerc has to put his stamp of authority if he wants to be a number one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was very interesting. We'll talk about Kimi in a minute. Now we talk about Frank Williams and Claire Williams' team. Question, will they be Phoenix or Tombstone in 2019? What say you?
I mean, the intrigue will be there at the beginning of the season with Kubica coming back. Patrick Head must be shaking his head.
Patrick Head is shaking his head? That's a good one.
Thank you.
Maybe he has an explosive head.
He would if he was around the team, but he's retired.
Yeah, and Heinz Edelfrenzen is no longer in the team. Apparently he was very brutal to him.
I heard that.
Yeah, I remember once we spoke to Derek Daly, he raced for Frank Williams, And he told me that the attitude of Frank Williams and Patrick Head is, shut up, get in the car, drive as fast as you can, or we have 10 other drivers standing in line. Nowadays, there may not be 10 drivers, maybe 5, and all children of multi-billionaires, the way this thing has become at Williams, which is very sad. But, you know, I have to say, unlike McLaren, Williams did not have the false luxury of throwing engine supplier under the bus. And let's point out, they are powered by Mercedes. But despite bringing Paddy Lowe from Mercedes, not only as technical head, but my understanding, he was also brought in as part team owner, they have gone to new lows in their illustrious history, which is very sad for long-time racing fans like us, you know, to see this thing happening. And let's not forget, Paddy Lowe was brought in at Mercedes to squeeze out Ross Brawn. So here is a guy with a lot of potential and pedigree, to borrow a phrase from you. And I just hope the 2019 season for Williams is better than 2018, and it's hard to imagine how it can get any worse. But then, you know, the lineup is this year, this is just my opinion, I think the lineup this year is weaker than last year, which was no Senna and Prost or Max and Denny Rick. One driver has no experience, while the other last race in F1 more than 7 years ago. Are you really expecting, and of course, I'm again not wishing anything bad on anyone, but are you really expecting Robert Kubica to be as quick as he was in his BMW Sauber days?
I don't know. You know, all I know is that he's got to beat Mr. Russell. As long as he does that, he'll be okay.
Yeah, if he beats George Russell, then it's over for George Russell right then and then.
That's it.
Because if you're winning JP2 in your first, or Formula 2, excuse me, more, in your rookie season against Lando Norris, Sergio Sette Camara, Alexander Albon, which Russell did an incredible job, I have to say. I think he won like 5 or 6 races compared to one for Lando Norris, who was second in the championship. But if he gets blown away by a guy who has not raced in Formula 1 for 7 years, Das Party is over. Das Party is kaput, basically.
Exactly. He'll be at the Bottas party.
Yes. Yes. And it's the same thing for Kubica also. You know, if he cannot beat with all his experience and talent he once had. But I think his lack of racing in the last few years will show. But we have to see how it works out. Now, across town, another great team of Pats is fighting to rise again. Zak Brown has now outlined a 5-year plan to get into winning groove. The way 2018 went with a non-Honda engine, looks like they may be stuck in Lando Lakes for another season or two. And Misery Show Loves Company, they also have a driver who has no F1 experience, and the other is on the Nico Hülkenberg program, still looking for its first podium. I don't think Carlos Sainz has ever been on the podium, is that correct?
Not in Formula 1.
Yeah, not here. Quite a bit in World Series by Renault, but that's another story. Yeah, I just wish very well for both these teams. But, you know, both, with all due respect, Zak Brown and Gilles Deferrand, they have been very, very successful in what they have done so far, which has been mostly not running a Formula 1 team. And I'm not blaming the plight of the team on them, at least at this time. But I just don't see, you know, having people without a lot of Formula 1 experience not helping them too much.
Yeah, I think it's no help at all.
And the car was a complete disaster, man. I mean, it was pretty sad to see them. I really thought with Nando being there and Renault engine that they would run in the... I was not expecting them to win races, but I definitely expected, you know, Nando qualifying on the second or third road on a regular basis, fighting for top 5. Boy, they were not even knocking distance, you know.
Yeah, they should have drank some Red Bull.
Red Bull. Will that help?
Yeah. It gives you wings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Or maybe get some cans from Lewis Hamilton of Monster Energy. Okay, Kimi Raikkonen, you mentioned his name earlier. He is back to the future at Sauber. It was 2001 when he scored a point on his F1 debut with the Swiss team in Melbourne. It took him a long time to win with Ferrari last time around. So winning a race at Sauber is basically out of the question under normal circumstances. Now, his teammate, in whom I have a lot of interest, as I like to see new talent coming in, he is one of those, yet again, next big Italian hopes, Signor Antonio Giovinazzi, He's a good kid. I had a chance to meet him at COTA last year. A few years came very close to winning GP2 championship in his rookie season, but I think he lost talk to Pierre Gasly. Now, this will be a make-or-break season for Antonio. If he cannot, this is how I'm looking at the situation, given the connections and relationships and sponsorship deals. If he cannot beat the senior citizen of F1, who is his teammate, I can see that seat go to Mick Schumacher in preparation for his arrival at Maranello in due course of time. And talking of Mick Schumacher, he is signed with the Italian Prima team to race in Formula 2. Your situation, your comments on Giovinazzi and Kimi and Sauber?
Well, everybody wants to see an Italian be successful with a Ferrari motor. I mean, it's been a while since that's happened, but no, I agree. I mean, I hate to say it, but if you can't beat a 40-year-old man, then you have no business being in Formula One.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see how it works out. Any other thing that gets your attention before we move on to the next item on the agenda, sir?
Yeah, Mick Schumacher. Everybody knows he will be in Formula One. So, what team? I don't know, but I have my suspicions.
You know, it's very interesting. Apparently, Mercedes is interested in him. But I did not get into details, but I saw a news item that Mick Schumacher is not interested in Mercedes because they dissed his papa. You know, they dropped him to bring in Lewis Hamilton. So, looks like an amazingly Red Bull. Can you imagine how much publicity the name Schumacher will bring without even asking for it? And I'm surprised Dr. Marco has said that they are not interested in Mick Schumacher, which leaves the only place for him to go is south of the border down Maranello Way.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the Schumacher name brings everything you want. And if he performs, I mean, it's a dream come true for anybody.
Yeah, especially if he performs. And, you know, he was on, I cannot believe, his second half in Formula 3 this year, last year, was complete opposite of his first half. He was nowhere to be seen.
I know. Titcomb will tell you all about it.
Yeah, and this is what happened with Nico Rosberg when he raced in the first edition of GP2. He was nowhere to be seen in the top five, if I remember correctly, halfway through the season. But then Mr. Kovalainen got shot down by Keke Schmid. And like I said, Mick Schumacher has joined the Prema team, which is an Italian team, very well-known team. So let's see how it works out. So he's already in Italian at last few years, he has been with the same Prema team, Formula 3 and Italian and German Formula 4. So he is pretty much, to borrow a phrase from the great Niki Lauda, he is pretty much being brought up in spaghetti culture.
Bravo. Prego. Absolutely. Anyway, why don't we take a quick break so we can bring in Loosh on the Loose.
Hello, F1 Weekly. It's Lucien Byfield here from South Australia for Loosh on the Loose. G'day, Clark. G'day, Nasir. And Nasir, you mentioned debut with the devil. So here is my thoughts on George Russell and Lando Norris possibly going the way of Stoffel van Dorn. History shows us that despite debuting in average, if not back-of-the-grid teams, great drivers still shine. Cream rises to the top. Fernando Alonso did in 2001 for Minardi, as did Mark Webber for them in 2002. Yano truly did as well, as did Fisichella. All this Minardi talk, righto. Well, what about Jean Alesi in the Tyrrell in 89, or Alain Prost in 1980, scoring points on debut in a McLaren that was far from a top car, and in an era where points were only given to the top six? Ayrton Senna in 1984, in a box-like slow Tolman before it got good mid-season, still shone and got points in his second race. What about Michael Schumacher? He shone for Jordan in 91, and then he was snapped up after not even completing a full lap by Benetton. Take that. But the Jordan was a great midfield team in their debut season. But then look at Gilles Villeneuve. He shone for an average McLaren and was snapped up in similar fashion by Ferrari. The point I am making is this. You do not need podiums or wins to shine in Formula One early on. Teams and talent scouts are watching and they know far more than we do. So if you can rival a teammate and keep out of trouble and bring that dog of a car home in 14th place, unnoticed by the majority, but In doing so, you're bringing home a car in 14th that should be 18th. You will be noticed. Just look at Charles Leclerc this year. It is not everybody that gets to start like Hamilton did in a top team and are then able to showcase their amazing talent instantly with podiums, wins, and championship contention. Jacques Villeneuve had that opportunity too. But the two new Williams and McLaren boys, George Russell and Lando Norris, will be in the former situation, in that they are going to have to shine relative to established teammates and prove themselves in potentially average, if not back-of-the-grid cars. I can barely believe I am saying this of the mighty Williams and McLaren, but this is the truth. Now, both of these young Brits are highly rated and on paper should both transition well into Formula One, and within a few years be in championship contention, having been snapped up by greater teams. But that was how Stoffel Vandoorne was touted, and look what happened to him. Despite his one-off appearance filling in for an injured Nando a few years ago, where he out-qualified Jenson Button and scored a point, in general, Stoff has not been good. He hasn't even been close to great. And when you do not out-qualify your teammate once in a season, no matter how close you are, you get forgotten. Has Stoffel lost his talent? Of course not. But life is cruel like this, and this is Formula One. And the Daniel Kvyats of this world are very rare in getting three bites of the cherry. To me, and I am only observing loosely, George Russell seems the feistier and more Senna-like, where Lando Norris seems the more sensitive and Prost-like. But who cares what I or anybody else thinks? Formula One has a history of saying that the latest gun from the junior categories is the next Senna, etc. Look at Jan Magnussen. And it was Jackie Stewart who ranked him up there as the new Senna. And he had the credentials. Jean Alesi was an absolute world champion in the making too. On and on it goes. Russell, from what we have seen, seems certainly the most clinical and determined of the two. He has a long-term plan, has introduced himself to the Williams team with a PowerPoint presentation, and is saying all the right long-term things. But Norris has that quiet confidence and not a trace of arrogance. If their respective cars are not good next year, it will be the driver who is mentally stronger, not getting affected by the temporal situation, who rises for that odd, wet, crazy race we see once in a while, who scores a lucky podium or a good points haul when the car does not deserve it, that will be on everybody's radar. My money is on George, yet I think the McLaren will be the better car, and Lando will score more points. Next year will be incredible. It might not be the one who seems the most successful, who, a few years down the line, is in the best car and winning titles, while the other is in Formula E. This is Lucien Byfield with Loosh on the Loose from Australia. Bye for now.
Loosh, keep up the good work. The check's in the mail. Nath, let's spin the globe and go around the world with this wonderful segment of yours.
Motorsports Mondial, yes, sir. Greetings and racing regards. We normally don't say that these days, but we're going to bring it back in 2019. Clark, do you remember this team where the Brabham team was bought out by an organization called Moneytron, and this flamboyant guy, Jean-Pierre Van Rossum, was in charge? Do you remember any of that?
I remember that. I remember Bernie.
So anyway, Jean-Pierre Van Rossum passed away last month, and sad news there. And he was from Belgium. And this guy was quite a character. His financial system to predict the market movements proved to be a scam. But you know, before he was exposed, he made a lot of money. After F1, he was a member of the Belgian Parliament. And one time, he even wrote a book on the finest places in Belgium where you can find comfort in the house of the rising sun for $50 plus tax. And then he bought the Onyx F1 team and enjoyed one podium courtesy of Stefan Johansson. I am hoping to meet Stefan Johansson at the Daytona 500, and I'll try to get some interesting story. There was another guy, a German guy, Gunter Schmidt, who was head of ATS racing team. He has also passed away, but he was also quite a character. Now, here comes my... This is what I'm really enjoying. I thought this was over with the end of... the 2018 season, but apparently this is going to go on despite these people going separate ways. War of words continues between Renault and Red Bull despite, you know, the end of the 2018 season. Cyril Abitbol of Renault launched a digital sling and arrow by suggesting Honda engine is still down on power, and the claims Red Bull are making are not based on facts. Well, guess what happened? Dr. Marco responded by saying, Abitbol is daydreaming. I think Chase Carey should open a small kindergarten in the F1 paddock area where these two clusters in Honor can duke it out. You're a Renault man. Any thoughts or comments on this?
I refuse to comment on such stupidity.
Let's see how it works out if Honda is not up to full song come Melbourne. But you know, they had a very impressive fourth place run with Pierre Gasly in Bahrain. So I'm hoping they can do a top five finish in... I'll tell you something. If they don't qualify in the top five and don't even race or run near top five, I expect Max Verstappen to deliver some Dutch treats to Honda. There's no question in my mind.
There's no doubt. And yeah, I think he'll probably have his book from Fernando.
Oh, the engine?
GP2 engine.
There you go. Okay, some news on new car launches. I'm really looking forward to it. Not that the cars are going to be beautiful, but, you know, just more information and sign of getting closer to Albert Park. Racing Point, previously known as Force India, will unveil their new car and star driver Lance Stroll and on February 13 at the Canadian Auto Show in Toronto. So hopefully some of our listeners in Canada are going to the Canadian Auto Show. And if anybody is going there, photographs, please. We will appreciate. Now, 2 days later, February 15th, Ferrari will unveil their new challenger for the 2019 World Championship. And I just hope Charles Leclerc is bringing 610 from Sauber so we can have some fun at Scuderia Ferrari. And you know, Rob Smedley has left Williams, and there are rumors that he's going back to Ferrari, which beckons the question on team radio. Sad is faster than you. Can you acknowledge? What do you think Charles Leclerc will say?
I don't think it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah, he might say, I speak French, I don't understand you.
Yeah, bravo.
Okay, you know, this is getting a lot of, very deservedly so. January 3rd is Michael Schumacher's 50th birthday, and Ferrari is organizing a Schumacher display at the museum in Maranello. And his family recently opened a museum in Cologne, which is free of charge, and this is close to his hometown of Turpin. And it has his personal collection of F1 cars, and one can only imagine how much they are worth, especially any championship-winning Ferrari. And my understanding is, like Nando, Schumacher used to have a clause in his contract that every year, whatever team he was with, he will get a racing car as part of the contract, and who would not oblige him on that? On a historical note, Wolfgang von Trips, the first German driver to win an F1 Grand Prix, also came from this part of Germany. Now some news on Nicola Todd. You know, he used to own ART team. He has sold his shares in that team, which he started with Frederick Vesser, who is now the boss man at Sauber. And they were very, very successful in GP2 and other series. Some of the drivers who raced for them, Lewis Hamilton, Nico Hülkenberg, and George Russell, all won championship and rookie seasons with the team. Nicola will now concentrate on his highly successful driver management company called All Road Management. His portfolio includes Felipe Massa, Charles Leclerc, and a young up-and-coming Brazilian talent, Caio Collet, I think is the name. He's getting a lot of press and has done very well in karting. Nicola must have made more than a pretty penny when he represented Pastor Maldonado and the Venezuelan oil company PDVSA in their dealing with Claire Williams. I mean, that commission check must have been very, very nice. And sir, as a tribute and honor to you, we have to have some information on Fernando Alonso. Nando, the Peggy Lee fever that won't go away. Now there is talk he may test McLaren's 2019 car. Pre-season testing will be in Spain. We may find out Suzuka is not the only track where McLaren runs with a GP2 engine, which would be very sad. I am hopeful, but doubtful, if that makes sense, that both McLaren and Williams may still be traveling in the slow lane come Albert Park in March and come Monza Park in September. The only excitement will be if Robert Kubica is still Piroshki quick or his F1 career is total kielbasa. Only time, George Russell will tell as the season progresses. Okay, in the other back of the bus corner, we have Ron Les McLaren. They have two new drivers, Mini Machismo replacing Super Machismo, and I am really looking forward to the Sainz Jr. versus Lando Norris Vettel, and hopefully the car is more competitive than last year. Carlito is young and experienced, and Lando is raw talent. If Lando can rattle the cage of Carlito in preseason testing, then I can see Lando making a comeback at McLaren, but the package has to be very competitive. Do you think we might see Lando do a race or two with McLaren if they are quick?
No.
Why do you say that?
He's going to be focused on Indy 500 and Chevrolet.
See the USA and Chevrolet?
Correct.
Yeah, plus he'll be doing some WEC, World Endurance Championship races, which is good for him. Yeah, I think all the contracts will come in the race, so I don't think Carlos Sainz Jr. will allow his son to be step aside and put Lando back. Now we go to Alexander Rossi, one of the first drivers we ever interviewed. He will have best of both worlds this season. He will continue with Michael Andretti's IndyCar racing team and will also race for Roger Penske's Acura team himself, sports car racing, which is very good for him. So, you know, hopefully we'll have a chance to chat with him at Daytona. And I'm sure we all know by now, Brendan Hartley has gone back to Porsche after being pushed out at Toro Rosso. There was a time when Hartley was one of the hottest young drivers in the Red Bull Junior program. Remember when he had long hair like Tom Petty? Yeah, but those days are gone and his chance in Formula One also. But I remember when he raced in the British Formula 3 as teammate to Jaime Alguersuari. Both were sponsored by Red Bull and Jaime was doing all the winning. I just had an inkling that this guy is going to be dropped by Red Bull, which surprisingly they put him as a F1 reserve driver. But then they did drop him and hired him and dropped him again. One thing for sure, Hartley cannot say he was not given the opportunity. And again, I'm pretty sure he will be also at Daytona. Now, sir, here comes the real exciting news of the new season. Did you watch the Formula E race in Saudi Arabia?
No.
Oh, the cars are very good looking. The season started in Saudi Arabia. And the winner, first time out, BMW team run by Michael Andretti's program. And the winner was Portuguese Antonio Felix da Costa. So my congratulations to Dr. Miguel and his people. The new car is very, very impressive. There is no question about it, sir. Okay, now this is not a paid commercial, but we want to let our customers know of some new products on the market. Some of our listeners may be familiar with the name Giorgio Piola. He is best known technical artist in Formula One. He also designs F1 inspired watches, and a special limited time offer is available to purchase one of his watches starting at $315 plus tax and shipping. These are very cool watches and available in black, blue, green, and red. For more information, please visit Kickstarter.com. And these are all racing themes watches, so they're very nice. And now we come to famous last words. Gerhard Berger on Mick Schumacher reaching Formula One. And this is what he was quoted as saying. He will be in Formula One paddock sooner or later and will not be driving a truck for Ferrari. End of quote. So there you have it from Gerhard Berger, himself an ex-Ferrari driver.
Huh. I think Alan Prost called it a truck.
Yes, and you know what happened to him after that?
Yeah, fired.
Yes, he got a call from the HR department. We're sending you a check. What's your address, sir?
Yes, bravo. Keep up the good work, Nass.
Okay, Mr. Rogers, when is the next recording?
I guess next week, you know, by then, on January 6th, the beginning of the Dakar Rally.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic.
Yeah, so get ready. Get your khakis and your boots out.
Very good, very good, very good.
So there you have it, Nass. A lot of things are happening. Press credentials are in the mail, so you need to chop chop.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. I appreciate your cooperation.
Thank you. I want to thank all the listeners who listen. Good night.
Bye-bye.